Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live on the Internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live down the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's program, we will be presenting the second of a two-part series. This series is called The Testimony of Jesus. More about our series after we've had some music.
Body of Christ.
testimony of Jesus. We will discuss this subject tonight with answers from the Bible. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Tonight, we will be discussing these questions together for part two of this series. How does the gospel reveal the testimony of Jesus? How does the testimony of Jesus relate to the universe? How does the testimony of Jesus relate to science? How does the testimony of Jesus relate to true love? And how far-reaching will be the testimony of Jesus? Before we continue with our study this evening, listeners, let us invite God's presence as we have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once more, Lord, we thank you this evening for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, streaming live down the internet from London. Lord, as we continue to study your word this evening, as we look at the testimony of Jesus, which is your testimony, I ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and to lead us and teach us as we study your word is our prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, first of all, listeners, how does the gospel reveal the testimony of Jesus? We read in the book of John, chapter 5, and verse 39. The Bible reads, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." We read in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, and verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." Jesus explains to us that the scriptures testify of him. He also explains through his apostle Peter that the scriptures, his word, endure forever. This means that his word is eternal. The Lord's eternal word is the means by which the gospel is preached unto us. Therefore, the gospel of Jesus Christ is everlasting. The everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ is his testimony. We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and verses 13 to 14. "In whom you also trusted," this is Jesus Christ, "after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest," which means down payment, "of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." We read in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood." We also read in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, and verses 4 and 6 to 7. That's 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 4 and 6 to 7. "In whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, have shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The gospel, the word of truth, is the testimony of Jesus. It is salvation to all those who trust in him. Note that the Holy Spirit is given to all who believe in Jesus Christ as a down payment of their inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, the purchased possession being the church of God, which he, Jesus, has purchased with his own blood. This is all unto the praise of God's glory. The Bible also declares that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of his testimony, is the light of the knowledge of the glory or character of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the testimony of Jesus Christ, his word, his everlasting gospel, reveals to us the character of who God is. God, through Jesus Christ, bought back his church with his own blood, with his own life, and he gives to his church his spirit. Notice, listeners, that all that God is doing is giving. As we studied last week, listeners, Christ gives the Holy Spirit to all those in his church who trust in him. This is to give his followers the assurance of his promise and power to save us from our sins. The divine presence is not experienced just in the future by all the true believers of Christ's word. The Holy Spirit is given now to all who truly believe in Christ as a present experience in him. They receive this treasure, the treasure of the divine presence of Christ living in the heart today, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of them. We read in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We read in the book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the testimony that Jesus gives through his word, reveals practically what he has promised. It reveals the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. It reveals the righteousness of God from faith to faith. Righteousness is holiness, likeness to God, and God is love. Righteousness is love. The righteousness of God is embodied in Christ. We receive righteousness by receiving him. Thus we see that the testimony of Jesus, the gospel, of his power to save his church from their sins, declares his righteousness, his love, from faith to faith. The gospel reveals the love of God in an ever-increasing measure to the Christian believer. So listeners, I have shared these Bible texts in order that we can begin to see the magnitude of the work and the expanse of the plan of salvation that God has set in motion through Jesus Christ. All that God offers to us is because of his infinite love toward us. Can we now begin to see what is involved with the testimony of Jesus? Now, how does the testimony of Jesus relate to the universe? We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 to 11. This is the Apostle Paul writing, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." We read in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 9 to 12, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Listeners, the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the other created beings that God has given dominion and rulership to in the universe, they are learning by the church about God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. They are learning how precious Christ really is. They witnessed the sufferings of Christ and the glory that followed. They also witnessed individuals in the church who follow Christ and who walk the same walk. They witnessed individuals in the church gain victory over sin through the power of Christ. They see the contrast that is made in their lives between living a life of good and living a life of evil. The universe receives a greater understanding about God and his dealings with created beings through the work of redemption being carried out in God's church. And so, quite simply, listeners, the testimony of Jesus Christ, revealed through his church, gives the other intelligent, created beings in the universe a greater revelation of the love of God. Now, how does the testimony of Jesus relate to science? We read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, and verses 14 to 21. For this cause, this is the Apostle Paul writing, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Christ testifies that when we are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, which is the mind, then he will dwell in our hearts by faith. It is the Spirit of God that generates faith in our hearts and minds, listeners. Christ testifies that when he dwells in our hearts by faith, we will be rooted and grounded in his love and be able to understand the expanse of his love. Christ testifies that he is able to do more than we can ask or think. He makes it known plainly that what he can do is far greater than what any human attainments can reach. Thus, we see that the greatest achievements in life are attained by those who are filled with the fullness of God, filled with his Spirit and love and power. Christ testifies that in order to understand the universe that he has made, we need to experience his love, of which the universe is a reflection of. The more that we receive of the Spirit of God, the better that we will be able to understand Christ and the things that he has created in the universe. Thus, the testimony of Jesus declares that a scientific study of the universe can only be understood by those who have the Spirit of God, who created the universe, living in them. The testimony of Jesus puts man back in his place. That is, that man is a dependent created being and needs the Spirit of God in order to truly understand his surroundings. Now we read from the Review and Herald, July 18th, 1899. Here is what the Lord's servant has written. There are many who are too exalted in their own opinion to receive this mystery. There's a science that the Most High would have these great men understand, but they cannot see the truth, the life, the light of the world. Human science is not divine enlightenment. Divine science is a demonstration of the Spirit of God, inspiring implicit faith in him. The men of the world suppose this faith to be beneath the notice of their great and intelligent minds, something too low to give attention to. But here they make a great mistake. It is altogether too high for their human intelligence to reach. The gospel message is far from being opposed to true knowledge and intellectual attainments. It is itself true science, true intellectual knowledge. True wisdom is infinitely above the comprehension of the worldly wise. The hidden wisdom, which is Christ's form within, the hope of glory, is a wisdom high as heaven. The deep principles of godliness are sublime and eternal. A Christian experience alone can help us to understand this problem and obtain the treasures of knowledge which have been hidden in the counsels of God, but are now made known to all who will have a vital connection with Christ. All who will may know of the doctrine. That's from the Review and Herald, July the 18th, 1899, by Ellen G. White. So listeners, at this point, let's just have a break for some music and continue with our study afterwards.
I'm tired and so weary, but I must toil on till the Lord comes and calls me away. Oh, yes, and the morning is bright. And the Lamb is the light, and the night is as fair as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. Sadness and no sorrow and no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. There the bear will be gentle, and the wolf will be tame, and the lion shall lay down right by the lamb, and the beast from the wild will be led by a child. And I'll be changed from the creature that I am. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray, there'll be no sadness and no sorrow and no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley.
how does the testimony of Jesus relate to true love? We read in the book of John chapter 10 and verses 15 to 17. Jesus says, speaking, he states, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again." We read in the book of Psalms, chapter 100 and verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." We read in the book of 1 John, chapter 3, and verses 15 to 16, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer have eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We read in the book of 1 John, chapter 4, and verse 8, "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." And we read in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, and verse 20, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and have given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." The Bible records how Christ laid down his life for his sheep. His sheep are his people. The Bible records that God is love and that God is true. Jesus therefore testifies that true love, the love of God, is perceived by its self-sacrificing nature. Jesus testifies that when a person has true love, the love that he possesses, then they are willing to die in order to save others. This true love comes from him. He contrasts this with the spirit of the devil, who hates and murders people and seeks to destroy them. Listeners, all of us created beings in the universe, the sinless beings outside of the earth, and the sinful beings on this earth, we are all given these lessons through the testimony of Jesus. Christ's word is surely seen to be true daily in the great controversy between Christ and Satan. The love of God saves life, whilst it's counterfeit, the lust of the flesh destroys life. Men cannot truly love one another when their actions are not directed by God. And so how far-reaching will the testimony of Jesus be? We read in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, and verses 15 to 18. "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom, and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." The prophet Daniel was initially troubled when he saw how the satanic kingdoms on this earth, symbolized by beasts of prey, had become so powerful. But he was reassured that the saints of the Most High would possess Christ's kingdom forever. Daniel was told that this earth would once again be ruled by the God that he served. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and verses 1 to 7. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the first of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. We read in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, and verses 18 to 21. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So listeners, time and time again, Jesus testifies that those who overcome sin, as he overcame sin, will rule with him in the universe forever. The testimony of Jesus will stand forever. No man is to add or take away from his words. Jesus' testimony is eternal because he is eternal. He is he which was and is to come, the Almighty God. No one and nothing can defeat him. This is a wonderful assurance to us that if we follow Jesus, we cannot lose. We are assured of life, love, happiness, peace, and victory over evil forever. Listeners, God is true. So now, as we continue to hear people's personal testimonies, let us hear what Sister Joanne has to share with us about the testimony of Jesus in her life this evening.
My testimony today is about how I came to know God. And I would say I came from Antichrist to Jesus Christ. I was brought up in a Methodist home. But my parents, they never went to church. They were very good people in the world's terms of being good, but they were party people. They taught us to go to parties. We went to church at Christmas, on the occasional Sundays, at Easter, and the traditional holidays. But regular, no. We didn't read the Bible. Really, the Psalms, the odd Psalm, especially Psalms 23, but not much else. I didn't know much about God, but we thought we did because we mentioned his name from time to time, or we said the Our Father prayer, and we said our grace when we had our food, thanking God for our food, things like that, but nothing as deep as I know now. I remember a friend of mine, we were reading the book of Revelation, and we thought the mark of the beast was to do with the labels on the soap powder box. And basically Procter and Gamble stuff. We thought that was it. And I remember trying to avoid buying their things and getting on. And we never understood what I understand today. And I praise God for it. But how did I come to know Jesus? How did I come to be a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church? It was because of my son. My son was born at 7 months. And I really got messed up. I tell you, the obstetricians, they really messed me up in the hospital with that child. And they had him in an incubator. And they did also, if it was now, they would not have been able to do those things because of the health message that I know now from Jesus Christ. God's health message has taught me many things that if I go to a doctor now, he can't just say to me, I'm doing this and that. No, I ask questions to make sure because of that health message and I praise God for it. Well, he lived for 5 weeks and he died. And while he was alive, we, as I said before, we didn't go to church too tough. We went to the dance hall night and day. This party, this dance, that dance. Yeah, and we thought we were enjoying life. But now I know that we really wasn't. And while he was in the incubator, we were praying, you know, pray to God, save him. Then I started making promises. I'll go to church if he lives and this and that. But he didn't live. He died. And went back to the old life. And then when I had my daughter, I thought, you know what? I promised God that I would take my son to church, but he died. So I better take this child to church. And I started praying and asking the Lord, which is the right church? Because there were so many. And I'm thinking in my mind, and it must have been God that was putting that in my mind. Which is the right church? And I started praying and asking the Lord. And the Jehovah Witnesses came. And I started going to church with them. But then I realized that on Sundays, I wasn't getting much Sundays to go with them anymore. I seemed to be more free on Saturdays. And then a lady who was not a Christian, she was not a Christian. She came to me and she said to me, my daughter was about a few months old, about maybe 9 months, around about that age. She said to me, why don't you send your daughter to the Adventist schools? I thought, send my daughter to the Adventist school? And then I said to her, well, I can't. It's too expensive. And she said, oh, but if you go and join the church, it will be cheaper. And I said to her, okay, I will do that. And it's only recently, I was thinking, why would we be discussing school at that age? And I went. And I went to my cousin because he was Adventist. And he brought me to church. My daughter was a year old. And when I heard the things that were being preached, I thought, well, I've been in the Methodist Church, Jehovah's Witness, Roman Catholic. I used to go to the Roman Catholic Church. I used to go to the Baptist Church. I never heard those things at all. And I decided to join. And that was in 1989. And I have never looked back. Not once. Because God is real. And he's able to save us. He's able to change us from what we are to what he wants us to be if we allow him. I cannot tell how much my life is enjoyable because of Jesus Christ. Every day I wake up, I am happy to be alive. And yes, I have trials, as everyone does, but the difference is Jesus Christ. He loves us. He created us. When we went wrong, he gave his life to redeem us. And he is all things that are beautiful, all things that are peaceful, all things that are lovely. And I just want to thank him. I want to thank you, Lord, for what you've done for me in my life. And Father, I pray that you will use this testimony to encourage somebody else to come to you. Because when I look back on my original life, I realize that if I had known you in the first place, many a things that I went through, I would not have gone through it. Because every day your hand is open wide unto us. Psalms 50, you said that you call the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down thereof. And so, Lord, we need, when you're calling us, we need to answer you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you and bless you for your love and your kindness towards me and to every human being that is alive upon this earth. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let us now hear what Brother Trevor has to say about the testimony of Jesus experienced in his life this evening.
So I guess I started university. When I was at university in London, I was studying business and Chinese. So in the third year, I had to spend a year abroad. So half the year was spent, the academic year was spent in China, and then the second half was spent in America. And God used the time in China for detoxification spiritually. So when I arrived in China, I had not prepared properly to make that move to China for the semester I was going to be out there. And I did not prepare myself properly. I did not get acclimatized with what I was to expect. So when I arrived, I experienced a massive culture shock. And part of that was because my preparation was just watching Kung Fu movies. And when I was actually packing, I thought that the best things to bring in addition to my clothes was my worldly music. And as I was packing, I went to weigh the scales. Weigh the suitcase, and the suitcase was excessively overweight. And as soon as I took out all the music and that I was planning to bring, which in the grand schemes of things wasn't too much, there was room enough in terms of weight to bring, to put in my suitcase, my Bible, and the Spirit of Prophecy book, The Great Controversy. And if I tried to add in any additional music or any music, the suitcase was overweight. Yes. So I had to leave all of that behind. And when I arrived in China, it was about, I think it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was a gray, gloomy day. And I didn't realize how hot it was until I actually got out of the airport, but it didn't quite register because I was trying to figure out where I was supposed to be going and how to get where I was going. And at the same time, there's a few other bits and pieces that I needed to sort out before I could make my way to the city that I was staying in. So I arrived in Shanghai, and as I arrived, I needed to book my return ticket with the airline. And so I had to go and find the airline office, which was not in the airport. It was somewhere else that I needed to go. And I actually got to where the airline office was before they actually opened. So I had to hang around there for a couple of hours. And then I explained to the lady that I needed to book my return ticket back to the UK on such and such a date. I can't remember why I had to do it this way, but that's what I had to do. And then after that, I got a taxi to where, to the train station, to where I needed to catch the train to the city that I was going to be studying in. And the taxi man dropped me off at this at the train station. But this train station had a few entrances, and the entrance that he had dropped me off at was the incorrect one. That one just took me to the tube station for the subway for Shanghai. And so now I had this big suitcase and just come off. I can't remember how many hours the flight was, but it could have been 14 hours of flying.
Yeah.
Or maybe a bit more. And I was dragging the suitcase. The suitcase had two wheels in it, and I was wheeling it across this this massive square that was partially, looked like it was, from what I can remember, was being reconstructed. And I was walking across something, and it had the paving wasn't smooth or flat, and the wheels broke. And so now I had to carry this heavy suitcase, maybe 23 or 25 kilos
yes.
of suitcase, across this square that took about 5-10 minutes to walk. And then what I didn't realize, or what I forgot, was that Chinese people don't tend to queue. Queuing is a European thing, particularly an English thing. So here I am trying to wait orderly in line to buy my ticket, and all these Chinese people are just crowding around me and pushing and getting their ticket and going and getting. I must have been there for about 15 minutes thinking, how come I'm not getting any closer to the ticket office? And so I thought, all right, I'm going to have to do likewise. So I eventually got to the ticket, bought my ticket. And again, when I was studying at university, we were told that trains in China they have hard seats and they have soft seats. And hard seat is the second class, would be the equivalent of our second class. And soft seat would be the equivalent of our first class. But I assumed that first class and second class were all on one train. I did not realize that the whole train was first class and the whole train was second class. So I didn't specify what type of train I wanted to catch. I just said, I just asked for the next train to Nanjing, and I got a ticket. So now it's probably about 10 o'clock, and that train wasn't scheduled to leave until, or wasn't arriving at the train station until, I think it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So I had a long, 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 long wait. When I eventually got on the train, God was gracious enough to cross paths with another foreign student. She was from America, and it so happened to be that we were sitting on this in the same carriage and opposite each other. So it's only when we both got off at the train station at Nanjing that that we realized that we were going to the same place.
Yeah.
But prior to that, you know, got into the train arrives. I get onto the train, and the train slowly begins to fill up. First of all, I get on the train. I realize, hang on, this ain't quite what I was expecting. it was like our trains back in the 1980s, where they were just, we had the door, one door to two doors to the to get into the carriage, and then you just had like benches for seats. It wasn't those individual seats, and it was a hard seat train that I had managed to book without realizing it. And what I didn't realize about the hard seat trains is that they stop at every stop. It's like the market. It's like the train that picks up the people that are going to and from market. So everybody is getting onto the train, and as they get on, they're getting on with all manner of things, everything you can think of, and the train is packed. There's no standing room, there's no sitting room, there's nothing. It is just literally packed. And then it takes off, and I'm thinking, okay, it's not going to take long to get to where we're going. This is going to be a fast train. and it just crawled along. The journey, I didn't arrive in Nanjing until maybe 8:30 in the evening. So the whole, probably for most of the journey, I was cursing God and just upset and angry with God about why he allowed me to choose Chinese as a foreign language. And why couldn't I have done Spanish? And I could have just gone to Spain and not be far from home and have to go through. So after 8 hours of cursing God and experience a lot of culture shock, I arrived at Nanjing, got off the train, and me and this other student, we found a taxi and told the taxi where we wanted to go. The taxi man agreed to take us, but then we realized that he didn't actually know where he was going. And eventually, it could have been an hour later, he actually got us to where we were going. And then, I remember finally getting to my room and just crashing out, just breaking down in tears. And the funny thing is, the only thing I could remember, or the only thing that gave me comfort, was when I was in the shower, there was verses of songs that would come to my mind, songs from family worship, right? Which would be morning or evening or Friday Sabbath worship. Not the whole song, just a specific verse that would give comfort at that time, or maybe the chorus. Because for the life of me, I couldn't remember any of the songs, any songs or anything when I was there. It was like God just put into my mind the specific song or verse for that moment. If I tried to remember it, after it gave me comfort, I couldn't remember. And then, so it took a good couple of weeks to actually get over the initial culture shock. And then after settling into the routine of school and everything out there, it was towards the end of the summer that I arrived. And I remember going to the university and joining a group of other students and playing football with them. And for some reason, I don't think I had drunk sufficient amounts of water that day. And I was playing football, and we finished playing, and I felt didn't feel too good. And I was making my way back to the student accommodation, and I just thought, you know what, I just need to sit down. And I was praying and talking to God and asking him to just give me enough strength to get back to student accommodation. And then all of a sudden, from nowhere, as I'm sitting under these pine trees on a bench, this cool breeze just blew past me. And it was just enough to revive me and help me make that journey, give me enough strength to make that journey back home.
Yes.
Back to the student accommodation. And that evening, when I was having my little personal time with God, my worship with God, I was just reflecting on that and thinking, there was not a single... The city that I've gone to is called Nanjing, and Nanjing is one of the five fire cities in China. It has a reputation of being extremely hot, and it was no exception. That day had been extremely hot, and there wasn't any cool breeze in the air. So it's as if when I was sitting down, God heard my prayer, and he actually blew on, it's like he blew on me just to cool me down, just to resuscitate me, to revive me, to so that I could get home.
Yes.
And that was one instance where I thought, wow, I mean, God actually just cooled me down, because there was no breeze, there was nothing, there was no water nearby or anything. And then another time, because like I was saying, I didn't prepare, and my preparation was very inadequate, God had used the whole experience in China to detoxify me from the lifestyle that I was living back in the UK.
Right.
And I remember one particular morning, I think it was a Sabbath morning. And I think after this dream or experience, I think that's when China felt like home. Because I'd been reading Great Controversy and my Bible from the time I got out there, because I didn't really have I didn't really have anything else to occupy myself with. And so I was reading those things on a regular basis. And one morning I woke up, or I became conscious of a dream I was having. And it was like I pitched myself on a beach, and I was right out, far, far, far out from the shore on the beach, but the water was still further out. And as that picture was in my mind, the verse that came to my mind was Psalms 18, verse 19. And at the time, in the dream, I think I can remember it, but when I woke up, all I could remember was Psalms 18, verse 19. And so I looked up what that verse was, and it said, "He brought me forth into a large land, into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." And I think in the New King James Version that I had at that time, it said, "He brought me into a barren place." And that's exactly what China felt like, yes, the whole right. experience, that God had brought me out to this barren land to actually deliver me, to detoxify me from the things that had intoxified me whilst growing up in the UK. So that's when my relationship with God took a turn for the better. Yeah, so that's the testimony I'd like to share with you.
Amen and amen. Well, listeners, after hearing these powerful testimonies, we will have another break with some music and come back with our closing thoughts.
When we get to know the Savior, that there is a way.
For our closing thoughts this evening, I will read from the Review and Herald, January the 29th, 1895, from paragraphs 7 to 8. This article reads as follows. From the testimony of Christ, we can see that we are regarded by the Lord according to the kind of fruit we bring forth, the kind of works we perform, for they are an index of the way in which we regard Christ. If any man love me, Jesus says, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These are Christ's words during the last interviews he had with his disciples before his death. The fruits of the life testify to the state of the heart. Jesus said, "You shall know them by their fruits." Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Christians are to be indeed the representatives of Jesus Christ. They are not to be pretenders. Shall the world form its conception of God by the course of those who only take the name of Christ and do not his works? Shall they point to those who claim to be believers, but who are not believers at heart, who betray sacred trusts and work the works of the enemy, and say, "Oh, these are Christians," and they will cheat and lie, and they cannot be trusted? These are not the ones who truly represent God, but God will not leave the world to be deceived. The Lord has a peculiar people on the earth, and he is not ashamed to call them brethren, for they do the works of Christ. They make it manifest that they love God, because they keep his commandments. They bear the divine image. They are a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. They cooperate with heavenly intelligences, and the Lord is most honored and glorified by those who do the most good works. So listeners, with all this in mind, let us now pray to close our study this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for these radio broadcasts on the testimony of Jesus. We've had four individual Christians, four people from different walks of life, who have had different experiences, who have declared that your testimony is true. I pray for each and everyone listening to this radio broadcast, Lord, that each and every one would realize, that each and every one of us would realize that your testimony is true. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, he which was and which is and which is to come, the Almighty. Lord, your love is eternal. And I do pray, Lord, that knowing this, it will give us assurance and hope and faith in you, Lord, that no matter what you ask us to do, Lord, it's because of your love. And I do pray for all those listening who are Christians, Lord, that each and every one would give their hearts to you. I pray for those listening who are not Christians, but who desire to be, that again, they would give their hearts to you. Time is short, Lord. We're now at the end, Lord, of 2024, coming to the beginning of 2025. Some of us listening may not even make it to 2025. Let us take each day in you. And I thank you, Lord, for all the radio broadcasts that you've helped us to present over this past year. And we pray and look forward to those that are yet to come. So bless us and keep us. And we thank you for all things. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org. You can send a text message to 07944-062-786. You can also listen to and download our radio show podcasts at https://voice-in-z-the-wilderness.podcastpage.io/. You can also find our podcast on Spotify. Search for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio by Wilderness Productions. If you would like to support Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio financially, then please send your donation through our website at vitwradio.org. Click on the page called About Us. You can donate to us there. Well, listeners, that's it for tonight's show. Good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live and on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.